There are so many different ways to look at the scriptures. So many different ways that people are preaching the scriptures today. And here we are trying to find the truth. And brethren, the only way that we are going to be able to navigate through all of the different doctrines that have created a maze in which people are trying to find their way back to the truth is through the scriptures. And that's why I really appreciate something that Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, and that is, there were also false prophets among the people. Now, this is the Jewish people, and unfortunately, throughout the history of the Jewish nation, and we can see this in the books of the prophets, if you carefully read through Jeremiah or Amos, or really almost throughout every book in the Old Testament, you will find that Satan has always used men and women to lead God's people into sin and into apostasy. And so the warning about the false prophets is almost, again, on almost every page of the prophets. But then he says this, there will be false teachers among you. Now, many people don't want to hear that today. Many people don't want to hear the judgment that what you're teaching is false. But here we have Peter telling us that there are going to be false teachers among us. Now, who are these people? Well, clearly, we are not in a position to identify them, but the scriptures are. And so it's not what we think, and it's not what we want, and it's not how we look at things that is going to get us into heaven. It's the faith we have that what God said is true, and we will submit to it, and we will believe it, and we will act upon it. So here we have a verse that states very clearly that there will be false teachers among you. They're here. Now, who are they and where are they and how do we identify them? Many of our coworkers are religious. They seem like good people. They talk about the things that we talk about, and yet they are following a religion that is very different from the ones you read about in the New Testament. And that's what we have to understand. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 6, God said this, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Now, God, of course, was talking about the law of Moses, which was several, maybe 400, 500, 600 years old at this point. But the paths that were in the old law needed to be followed even in the days of Jeremiah. And that same thing is true today. We have old paths. We have the New Testament scriptures. And within the pages of the New Testament scriptures, Jesus warns us that the way that leads to life, the old path, is difficult and narrow. And his warning is there are only a few who will find it. Now, the reason for that is set forth here. Because he says, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. We have a lot of this today. The scriptures have revealed right and wrong, good and evil. They have revealed true doctrines and false doctrines. And many times as we study with people and we talk to people, we show them what the scriptures say, and they say, that doesn't fit my belief. I won't walk in that. And so we have a direct scripture, and today people say, I will not walk in that. Things haven't changed very much. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. So once again, the scriptures have the truth. When we preach the truth in the scriptures, we follow the path of the watchman who sees the danger and warns of it. And we find the same thing is true today. People will say, we will not listen. We can read a scripture. We can show people this is what the truth is. But if they are not going to trust God's words, then they're going to say exactly what these people are saying. We are not going to walk in that. And we will not listen to those warnings because the people want false teachers. That's a sad reality, brethren. They want people who will tell them what they want to hear. And after they've told them what they want to hear, and we come forth with the scriptures and we show them what Jesus has actually said, we're going to show them the old paths. We're going to show them the good way. We're going to tell them, as Jesus did, you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. You know, Jesus dealt with this in John chapter 8, 31 and 32. It says, he spoke to those who believed on him, and he said, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. But as we see, as there were, so there will be. Now let's look a little bit more at some of these false prophets. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. I would say that's a pretty good description of most people in the religious world today. They are being told you don't have to be baptized, even though Jesus said you do. They have been told that there is nothing wrong with immoral activities that the Lord has condemned. An astonishing and horrible thing is going on in our world today. Teachers and preachers are preaching and teaching error. And many of them love to have it so. Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Now, it's not my place to call people what God called these people, but if they are doing what God condemned here, how else can we understand? There were false prophets, there will be false teachers. These false prophets are preaching lies, telling us these are from God. Now, we see a lot of this today. It's a sad reality. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. So, these people were in the Old Testament. If we think they're not here today, you know, Billy Graham, back in the 50s, he made a statement that has created just absolute chaos. He said, accept Christ as your personal Savior and join any church you choose. And of course, the churches that he were talking about would be the Jehovah's Witness Church, the Mormon Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the Catholic Church, the Baptist Church, the Presbyterian Church, and if you look at all those churches, you will see that they don't agree on many things. The Mormons do not agree that the Bible is God's Word. The Catholics do not agree that the Bible alone, but our traditions must be added. And then the Seventh-day Adventists tell us you have to keep the law of Moses, you have to keep the Sabbath day. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are telling us that we're going to live on in this world, but only 144,000 are going to enter into heaven. And Billy Graham is saying, it doesn't matter. Just join whatever church you want to join. Can you imagine the chaos? Can you imagine how unhappy God would be? Why didn't he say, He that believes is baptized will be saved and then follow the scriptures. But he didn't say that. There will be false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. I can't think of a more destructive heresy than join the church of your choice, or it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. And yet the Lord said, if you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. So these people have crept in unnoticed. They were long ago marked out for this condemnation. That's what Jude says. These people, they have crept in. They have changed the religious climate of our culture to the point where you can openly deny anything Jesus or his apostles have said and still be accepted as a faithful Christian in the eyes of the world. And this is causing grief to those of us who want to preach only the scriptures, only to be looked upon as people who are narrow-minded and bigoted and legalistic, when all we're saying is what God said. Follow my son. My word must be followed. Whoever goes onward and abides not in the teachings of Christ does not have God. That's what the scriptures say. And they say, it doesn't matter. So we have a stark choice. We have a watchman. We have an old path. Are we going to listen? God has not sent some teachers, but they ran. And so Jesus says, you will know them by their fruits. So if we seek for these fruits, now again, some people don't want to do this. Some people don't want to have to find reasons to condemn things that other people are doing. They want to live and let live. They want to enjoy their life. But you know something? Jesus didn't get crucified because he was a live and let live kind of a person. When Jesus saw the Pharisees teaching things that were not in the scriptures, he condemned them. He said, in vain do you worship me, teaching his doctrines, the commandments of men. And they became very angry. And that's one of the reasons they killed him, because he would not tolerate their error. Now, Jude tells us how they were long ago marked out. And for those of you visiting here, this is the fourth in a series of lessons that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. We've already looked at the way of Cain, and we've already looked at the error of Balaam. And this morning, we want to talk about the gainsaying of Korah. Now, you may not even know who Korah is, but Jude says you better get to know who he is. Because these false teachers today were long ago marked out, and they were marked out by the way of Cain, the error of Balaam, and the gainsaying of Korah. Now, let's define the word gainsaying just so we understand. It's that word at the bottom there, which is contradiction, controversy, disputation, opposing arguments, answering speeches. Korah lives on. If I sit down with a Baptist and I tell him, you know, Jesus said he that believes is baptized will be saved, and they'll respond with, we're saved by grace, we're saved by faith, not by works, we don't have to be baptized. There's a contradiction. Jesus said he that believes is baptized will be saved. They say that we have to have faith alone and we don't need to be baptized. They're contradicting Jesus. And they're creating controversy. And they're disputing in what they're doing. Now, let's talk a little bit about Korah, because many of us may have forgotten. We find him in the book of Numbers. He's actually Moses' cousin. Moses was born of Amram, and Amram's brother begat Korah. So they're related to each other. They know each other. When God sent the 12 spies into Canaan, the people rebelled, and God said, not one of you over 20 years old will enter the promised land. Now, you've got to think about that. If you're 40 years old, and God has just told you, you're going to die in this land, this dry, miserable wilderness, you will never leave it. Every one of you is going to die. And a lot of those people didn't want to die. So they started looking for a way. How can we get out of this? And the very next event is their attempt to get out of it. And it comes from the controversy, contradictions, and opposing arguments of Korah. Now, Korah, the son of Izor, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron. So we have a big debate going on now. We have Moses and Aaron here, and then we have Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and 250 men of renown. So Moses and Aaron are kind of outnumbered. There's 255 people against him, and there are only two who are standing with God here. They gathered, verse 3, against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them. And the Lord is among them. Why do you exalt yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" Moses had told the people, God will not let you enter the promised land. You will die in the wilderness. They took that personal. They said, "Moses, who do you think you are? We're just as holy as you are. You've made this decree." Now, what they're doing is they're separating him from God, because Moses isn't the one who did that. God is. But these people have gathered together to tell Moses and Aaron, "You're taking too much on yourselves. You're telling this congregation what to do," when the reality is everyone in the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. They have just as much right to decide whether we go into the promised land or whether we stay in the wilderness as you do. Why do you exalt yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Now let's think about this for a minute. When God chose the leader, he chose Moses. Remember, there was a burning bush, and there was God's request. You go to Egypt and you bring the people out, and I will bring you back here. So Moses was God's spokesman. Moses was God's prophet. Moses was God's lawgiver. Moses did not exalt himself above the congregation. God put him above the congregation. God made him the leader. But you can see what they're trying to do. They are trying to make a separation between Moses and God so that they can rebel against Moses. But really, they're rebelling against God. So when this is the contradiction here. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron. Now they've got to win. They're in a debate now. We're going to prove you wrong. So first of all, they say, "You're taking too much on yourselves. You're taking too much authority." Now we're hearing people say this today about the Apostle Paul. We're hearing people say that Paul has no more authority than we do today, and we can set aside anything that he said because he was just a man. But what they fail to realize is the Holy Spirit was giving Paul his words. And when you separate the man from the Holy Spirit who's inspiring him, then you can do whatever you want. Everybody has a right to interpret what God wants them to do in their own way. But that's not what God said. So the gainsaying is set forth right here. Korah's opposing argument: you don't have any more authority than we do. Everyone's opinion is just as good as yours, so let's take a vote. Let's ask all the people whether they want to go into the promised land or whether they want to die in the wilderness. You know, it's so laughable, it's so ludicrous that you would think that they wouldn't make an argument like this. But as we said earlier, my people love to have it so. Now, Moses is the watchman, and they will not listen. God has said, stay in the old paths. These people don't want to stay in there. So they sought to remove God's authority from Moses. Now, the beauty of this is God gets directly involved, and we get to see firsthand how God feels when somebody tries to dethrone his prophet and his lawgiver and replace him with their own thinking, which is, again, exactly what we're seeing in the world today. There are many religions that have their own book, and if their book contradicts the Bible, they'll still hold to their book. And there are many people today who know what the scriptures say, but have no compulsion whatsoever in setting them aside. Now, Moses tries to reason with them. Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, but they said, we will not come up. You don't have anything to say that we want to hear. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey? You know, they're talking about Egypt here. Egypt where they were slaves. Egypt where they were in bondage. Egypt where they were throwing their baby boys into the river. Egypt where Pharaoh hated them. And now what are they calling it? You brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey. I would say that would be a revisionist view of history. That's not what happened at all. And then, who brought them up? Wasn't Moses. Moses didn't send the 10 plagues. Moses didn't open the Red Sea. Moses didn't come down on Mount Sinai and tell them the law. You have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey. Lie after lie after lie. And then the next lie, to kill us in the wilderness. And now you keep acting like a prince over us. You keep telling us you can't do this and you can't do this and you can't do this. We're sick and tired of it, Moses. Will you put the eyes out of these men? Are you going to try to come up with arguments? We would say, will you pull the wool over the eyes of these men? We will not come up. All the miracles, God giving Moses the law, they didn't care about any of that. They didn't love God. They weren't willing to submit to God's order. They didn't want to because that meant dying in the wilderness. Just like people today don't want to, because if you have a desire to commit fornication, and the scriptures say you can't, but the denominations say, some of them say, well, you can. Well, who are you going to believe? They refused to accept the authority or the inspiration of Moses. Now, the worst possible outcome was Korah gathered all the congregation against them. The day came. Here's Moses and Aaron. Here's the whole congregation. And the whole congregation's with Korah. And what do we have? Joshua, Caleb. We have a small handful of people who are with Moses. So Korah gathered all the congregation at the tent of door of the tabernacle of meeting. They figured, we got this in the bag. Moses is outnumbered. We're going to take over. We're going to go into the promised land. And maybe we just need to get rid of Moses. Then the glory of the Lord appeared. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. You know what God was ready to do here? God was telling Moses and Aaron and the few that were with him, why don't you leave and I will destroy all of these people. I'm going to put them all to death. I'm sick and tired of their insubordination. I'm tired of them taking my prophet and treating him like he's nothing. I'm tired of their murmuring. Separate yourselves. I'll consume them in a moment. Now, I don't know how God could have made it any clearer. I don't like what Korah's doing. I don't like it when my spokesman says this and you say, we don't have to do that. Matter of fact, we're all the same as Moses. We have more authority because we have more people. So the entire congregation was persuaded, and guess whose fault it is? Not God. Not Korah or Dathan and Abiram. The problem is Moses and Aaron. So now, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram are the good guys. And Moses and Aaron are the bad guys. Well, it's the same today. There are many preachers today who are the good guys, and Paul's the bad guy. There are many preachers today who are the good guys, and the scriptures are the bad guys. And there are many people today who are ready to set aside the scriptures and follow the teachers of today. Matter of fact, there's a lot of people like this. But that doesn't change anything, because let's see what God did. He spoke to the congregation saying, "Depart now from the tents of these wicked men. Touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed. By this you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own will. If these men die naturally like all men, or if they are visited by the common fate of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows up with all that they have, belongs to them, and they go down alive into the pit, then you will understand these men, now notice this, have rejected the Lord." So here we got a good outcome. I mean, a clear distinction. If they don't die today, God didn't send me. If they die today, you will know that they've rejected the Lord. We're nothing. Moses and Aaron, just like the Apostle Paul. Paul is just a man, but the Holy Spirit is the one who wrote the words. If we reject Paul, we're really rejecting the Holy Spirit, just like these people have rejected the Lord. Now, they didn't say they rejected the Lord. They said, "We're all holy. We're all equal to you. We have just as much right as you do, so we're not going to listen to you." What does God say? That's how you reject the Lord. And God leaves absolutely no doubt. As he finished speaking, this didn't take long. As soon as he said, "They've rejected the Lord," the ground split apart, the earth opened its mouth, swallowed them up with their households, and all the men with Korah, with all their goods, they drop down into the pit, and the earth closes back up. Now, wouldn't you think that'd be enough? Wouldn't you think that at this point, the children of Israel, "Oh boy, we really made a blunder"? But it wasn't enough. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You have killed..." I can't hardly read this without thinking how ludicrous it is. How did Moses open up the ground? How did Moses close up the ground? But here's their point: "You've killed the people of the Lord." So even though Moses has been proven to be God's spokesman, and even though Korah, Dathan, and Abiram are now dead, who are the people still siding with? They're siding with them because they're teaching what they want to hear. Not because what they're teaching is right, but because they're teaching what they want to hear. That's our problem today. When we show someone what's in the scriptures and they say, "I don't believe that, I'm going to follow my own heart," they're doing the same thing that these people are doing. And that's the problem. The problem is continuing today. His letters, they say, are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. Now, that's what they said about Moses. And so Paul says this: if you think yourself to be a prophet or spiritual, then you have to admit or acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone doesn't agree with that, if anyone is ignorant, then let him be ignorant. But God has spoken here. God has spoken. Jesus said, "You teach my disciples to observe everything I commanded you." Now, they either did it or they didn't. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. He will teach you all things. He will bring you remembrance all that I spoke unto you, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will be with my disciples forever." I believe that. I believe the Word of God is absolute, inspired, perfect, and needs to be submitted to. I'm not looking for a way to contradict that. I'm not looking for a way to make arguments so that we can set aside something that the apostles or Jesus said. We don't want to do that. We want to be submissive to Jesus. If you abide in my words, you're my disciples indeed. But if you go beyond my words, you don't have God and you don't have Jesus. Paul said, if you accept the old law, you're severed from Christ and you're fallen from grace. So nothing's changed. The contradictions, the controversies, the disputations, the opposing arguments, they're doing the same thing today. Every time I come home from the grocery store, I see a church with that rainbow, which means we think homosexuals. I don't dislike homosexuals. I just say what the Lord did, and that is homosexuality is a sin and it needs to be repented of. I don't see any difference between a homosexual and an adulterer or a fornicator or a thief. They're just things God has said are sins. But the religious people today are trying to tell us that the scriptures should be set aside and we should view these people, and we do, they're people. We can befriend them. They're no different than we are. There's everything about them. I have no problems whatsoever with them as people. But I can't tell them it's okay for this lifestyle because God says it's an abomination, and I don't have any choice. But see, that's the point. There's a contradiction here between those who are teaching that good people can commit sinful things and still go to heaven, and we all know that's not true. So if God condemns an activity, we don't have the right to say, God will accept you as you are. Now, we will, but God won't. And what I mean by that is, I'll befriend them, I'll eat with them, I'll treat them like everybody else, because they are like everybody else. Everybody's a sinner. Their sins are no different than any other sin, but it's still a sin. We can't contradict that without saying the scriptures. God said, go to the old paths. We're not going to walk in those. God says this is a sin. We're not going to walk in that. God says, if you do this, you will be cast away from me forever. We're not going to listen to that watchman's call. Knowing this first, no prophecy of Scripture is any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. That's true of the Old Testament. That's true of the New Testament. Jesus said, don't give any thought to what you will say, because the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Paul says in 2 Timothy 3, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, brethren, we either believe that or we don't. We either believe that every word that proceeds from the mouth of God must be obeyed, or we don't. We either trust in the Lord with all of our hearts, or we don't. If we're going to accept that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, then we don't have any right to go through and say, but I don't want to do this. And I don't want to believe that. And this doesn't fit with the ideas of our culture, so I can't believe that. Well, a genuine Christian's not going to do that. A servant of God is going to know that holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, and that all Scripture, from Genesis to Malachi, from Matthew to Revelation, is inspired by God. It's given by inspiration. It is profitable for doctrine. Everything in the Scripture is profitable for doctrine. If it's not in the Scriptures, then it's not profitable for doctrine, because the only profitable doctrine, is what's true. If it's a lie, you want to believe a lie? You want to go before Jesus and hear, I never knew you. You practice lawlessness. I told you what you needed to do and you just wouldn't listen. You know, there were fables back then. There are fables today. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Where do we find sound doctrine? In the Scriptures. What Paul said, what Peter said, what John said, or maybe I should rephrase that, what the Holy Spirit said. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Brethren, this is a prophecy of today, because we're fulfilling it. There are so many teachers that have been heaped up today, teachers that will tell you anything you want to hear and telling you you'll go to heaven. Most preachers, when you go to a funeral, it doesn't matter if the guy was the worst scoundrel and never obeyed the Lord and never spent one moment in a church, and that they're still telling us they're in heaven looking down on us right now. And I wish that was true, but the Scriptures don't say that. Jesus said, he that believes is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Those are his words, not mine. I don't necessarily like them, but I know they're true, and I accept them. There's times when they cause me great grief, when people I know and love who won't believe, and I know they're going to be condemned. I can't preach a sermon like these people do. But today, many people are inspired. And Paul's words are now set aside. Miracles and signs abound. Trust and respect for Scripture and the inspired writings of the apostles and prophets are set aside without any fear, without any concern, without any respect. What are we going to do? Can we compromise? We can't. You know, Peter talked about these days. Let's read the rest of his writing. There were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even the denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. There's the old paths. There's the watchman's call. I'm going to hear it. I'm not going to follow their destructive ways. I am not going to allow the way of truth to be blasphemed. We love the way of truth. We love the Scriptures. The Scriptures are inspired of God. They teach the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And today we watch religious people defining truth based on their own heart and rejecting truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one will come to the Father except through me. Here's the truth. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. Now, the we here is talking about John and the apostles and the prophets who wrote the Scriptures and who were inspired. We're of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. When somebody reads something Paul says and says, I don't believe that, that's the spirit of error. When somebody reads Paul's words and says, I believe that, that's the spirit of truth. He who hears us is of God. He who is not of God does not hear us. And Jesus' prophecy has been fulfilled. Enter by the narrow gate. Most people today, there is no narrow gate. Just accept Christ as your personal Savior. Join whatever church you want. Doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. The gate to heaven is so wide you couldn't miss it. Know what Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are they who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So now we have to decide, will we listen to Billy Graham or Jesus? Will we listen to all of these people today who are telling us you can get to heaven this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, and it doesn't matter. The gate is so wide and the way is so easy, you can't even fall off of it. Matter of fact, it doesn't really even matter if you believe in Jesus. That's what they're saying. Jesus says, that's not true. Now, this is not, this kind of a sermon is not going to make people really happy. But it's Scripture. And that's what we have to do. Here's what Jesus says. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. But Lord, we were performing miracles. We were doing mighty works. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Now this is Korah's argument. We're all prophets. We're all people of God. We're all the same as you, Moses. Well, that's what people are saying today. We prophesied in your name. Cast out demons. Many wonders. Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. I don't want the Lord to say that to me. I don't want the Lord to say that to you. That's why I'm preaching lessons like this. We're swimming against the tide today. People who call themselves Christians are not doing the will of God. They're not following the Scriptures. They are calling Jesus Lord. But they're not doing any of the rest of it. And Jesus has this to say to them. If you set aside my law to follow your own thinking, you're only practicing lawlessness. I've already told you this is wrong. And you're saying it's not wrong. I'm going to change anything. Just like Korah. Korah said this is the way it should be. So here's the gainsaying. And we look at this passage or these passages at the end of every lesson in the morning now, because I want to make sure we understand, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You believe that? You know what that means? That means that all of these people who die, who didn't believe in Jesus, cannot be preached into heaven. They will die in their sins. Do we like that? No, we don't like that. I wish everyone could be saved. But what I wish and what the truth is are two different things. And no matter what I want, I have to bend my will to do what God says. Unless you repent of your sins, that's inherent within repentance, you will perish. I can't change the lists of sins that God has revealed. I can't change what Jesus said is sin and Paul said is sin and God said is sin. I can't change that. I can't tell people, you don't have to repent of this sin. You don't have to leave this sin. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes is baptized will be saved. So many people are gainsaying this. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And then lastly, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. What if we don't? What if we don't confess our sins? What if we don't even think what God says is a sin is a sin? Well, he says, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just. If you say we don't have any sin, you make him a liar, and you're a liar. That's what God said. That's not what I say. And so, brethren, I know lessons like this are not really what we want to hear. We want to hear about heaven. We want to hear about joy and peace and goodness. But you know something? If we don't preach lessons like this, we'll have this joy and peace in this life, but not in the life to come. I want to make sure we get to heaven. I want to make sure that the people I preach to are hearing the truth. Now, if they don't want to accept the scriptures, it's just like Jeremiah said. God sent a watchman, and you said, we won't listen. And God said, seek the old paths where the good way is, and you said, we won't walk in it. Well, I'm going to walk in it. And I'm going to encourage everyone to walk in it. And so as we open up our songbooks now to number 276, we're going to sing about the power in the blood. And we're going to remember that the reason there's power in the blood is because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his word is just as binding today as it ever was. And if we want to be free from our burden of sin, we're going to have to obey him and his apostles and his scriptures, whether we like it or not, whether the people of this world like it or not, we're going to stand with him. We're not going to go off with Korah. We're going to stay with Jesus, just like those people stayed with Moses. If we can help you in any way at this time, if you haven't obeyed the gospel as we just laid it out, hear the word of God, believe it, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be immersed in the water of baptism for the remission of your sins. If you haven't done that, you haven't obeyed the gospel. And if you're here this morning with sin in your heart and you need to confess it, we are willing to have you confess your sins one to another and pray one for another. If we can help you in any way, would you please come while we together stand and sing?